So, got into Delhi, and we took a day or two to just kind of get adjusted to the time change and whatnot. And we began in Delhi with a 3 days leaders fellowship, the 3 days that leaders from all over, from Nepal, from Calcutta, from all over, came, and to be together in a leaders fellowship. And the way they handle their leaders' fellowships are really wonderful, because they encourage each one to participate. And there are probably about 120 leaders that were there. And many of them were there for the first time. I know people from Nepal. Last year, they had two fellowships in Nepal. This year, they have six. They're like in Calcutta also. Last year, they had one person, two people that were there at the leaders' meeting. This year they had, eight or nine, So it's just a tremendous thing, tremendous growth. And they're all encouraged to participate, to share really what their desire is to do for God, and what they want to do, for God, basically. That's what they're encouraged to do. And anything that really is on their heart that they feel as though is important to share with everyone, they have an option to do that. But it's all within a 10-minute time frame, because they encourage everyone. With 120 people there, it's like, you got to cut your testimony short, cut your sharing short. So they do that. And it was a great fellowship, because just about all of them shared their desire to really move with God and to stay connected with God and with the right doctrine of the Word. Because when they stay connected with the right doctrine of the Word, then there's fruit in their life. It's like what Jesus Christ said in the Gospels. He that abides in me, I am the vine, you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And that is, it's figurative, but it represents that Jesus Christ is the way. He is the Savior. He's the Messiah. And if you abide in what He has accomplished for you, then your life will bear much fruit. You will have a fruitful life. You will have what God intended for you to have as a result of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, is what the Bible calls us. It was the unbelievers in Antioch of Syria that decided to call believers, disciples, Christians. And it was a very derogatory term that they called them. But the Bible, God, refers to us as believers, disciples, saints, heaven's holiest, God's children, right?
Disciple would be a learner, right?
A disciplined follower, a disciplined one.
Disciplined one.
Yeah. One who follows with discipline. So that's what their desire is. That's what they want. They want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to stay connected with the right doctrine so that their lives will be fruitful. Because they've seen, over the past several years, they've seen what it means to stay connected with the right doctrine and the fruit that you bear in your life, and what it means to disconnect and go a different way. Because there are a lot of roads out there, right? Plenty of places you can go. Plenty of things you can think or practice, and yet they may not be the right doctrine. They might not be what God has intended for us to believe. And so there may not be any fruit there. And that's what they're seeing. Some people have chosen to disconnect with the right doctrine, are getting off track, and they're not seeing any fruit. They're not seeing God answer their prayers anymore. They're not seeing any fruit if they have fellowships. Even some of the leaders disconnect from their leaders and from the right doctrine and go a different way. And they're not seeing the fruit. So if we stay connected, that is one thing that they are all understanding. It's like, we got to stay connected here. We have to stay connected to our leaders, to the right doctrine, if they're plugged into the right doctrine. If they're not plugged into the right doctrine, then we got to find those who are, so that we can remain fruitful and that we can bear fruit not only in our own lives, but for God. Because God has entrusted each of us as His sons with Christ in us. We have the power of God in Christ in us. We have been given Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is our authority and our power to represent Jesus Christ. Because if we represent Jesus Christ, we can make our Heavenly Father known, just like Jesus Christ made the Father known. And He did it by what? Just by talking? Just by saying, this is a great idea, I think you guys ought to try this? No. He demonstrated the power of God. He showed by example. He not only spoke, He showed by example. You know, what it means to be a son of God. You know, that's who we are. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we've made Him our Lord. We believe that God raised Him from the dead. We're God's children. We're God's kids. He's made us His children. And He has put Holy Spirit within us so that we can represent Him just like His Son, Jesus Christ, did. You know, that's what so many people just, they either, I don't know if they, it's not that they don't know it. We certainly know it. You know it. And yet, you know, are we willing to really live that in our lives in a way that has a great impact? See? We can, if we choose to. It's all dependent upon our desire. What is it that we really desire in our heart? You know, we can do the things in life that we want to do. You know, whether it be a lawyer, or a doctor, or a movie maker, film, you know, musician, whatever it is that we desire to do. Business people. Whatever it is we desire to do in that aspect of life is fine. God says He'll bless it. But in our heart, our real priority is to live as sons of God. Right? It says in the Word that they that walk by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You walk by the Spirit. You allow God to lead you via that Spirit that He's put in you. And when an opportunity presents itself, when God opens a door for you to speak for Him, you're willing to speak for Him. There are so many signs and wonders being done in the name of Jesus Christ, in the fellowships in India and everywhere, that people have that same kind of heart, that there can't, it just, you can't help but see the Word move. I mean, most of the time, you know, it's just about that. It's about them seeing a door of utterance and speaking the way Jesus Christ would speak. That's how we are to speak. The way He spoke. And it says of Him that He spoke with authority. Not like the scribes did. Right? He spoke with authority because His words were backed with power, with a demonstration of power. And that's who we are. That's what we've been called to. To demonstrate the power of God, just like Jesus Christ did. Does that mean that we become monks and, you know, separate ourselves from the world and think that we're better than everybody? No. I am certainly most humble before God when I consider the reality that He has called us to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. That is the most humbling thing before God. To realize what He has done for each of us. To invite us to participate in that kind of a life. So anyway, that was the Leaders' Fellowship. And then some. Of course, during that Leaders' Fellowship, sang it, shared a couple of times. A couple of the others... other leaders shared, not the ones that you would think. You would think that Bhupinder perhaps would have had a chance to share the word, and he didn't. He just gave his opportunity to share to one of the younger leaders, and Happy shared, Ashish shared, taught the word, had about 30 minutes to teach the word, and that was a blessing because they're young leaders and they're rising up and they're seeing great things. Happy. You may have heard me mention him last year. He really desired to live for God and to move with the things of God. And he was praying for a laborer. And this is because this is what they do. If they have a desire to move God's word, they pray to God to send them someone hungry. Send me a laborer. Just like Jesus Christ said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. Well, send forth that labor and send them my way because I want to help someone. You know, Because not everybody, you don't just all of a sudden decide you want to be a laborer and know how to do it. Just instantly. God reveals to you. No. You're taught. You're taught by someone who knows and been connected with the right doctrine. Then they share that with you and you duplicate it. You do the same thing. Right? I mean, the right doctrine is that we are all sons of God and we all have the same power and authority that Jesus Christ did. That's the right doctrine. Some people don't think so. Why? Sorry. It's their choice. But happy, he decided, I want to do this for you, Father. So send me a laborer. And so after he prayed, and it just didn't happen overnight, but eventually this one guy, and he also saw the importance that he lived in Kanpur. And that's where he got in the word, Kanpur. And he knew that, you know, there's plenty of laborers here. There's plenty of leaders here. I want a new field. I want to open up more areas to your word, to your truth. Okay? I want a new field. So send me a laborer that, you know, I can help open a new field and work a new field. And so as he prayed, he continued to thank God for that. And as it turned out, I don't know if you've heard this testimony, but this is how it came down. This guy came from Mathura, which is a neighboring state to Kanpur. And Mathura is close to the Taj Mahal. It's like an hour and a half drive to the Taj Mahal. Anyway, had been no believers there. This guy shows up in Kanpur from Mathura. And he's looking for a Bible. He wants to get himself a copy of a Bible. Because he wants to read it. He wants to learn about what the Bible teaches. So he comes to Kanpur and he goes to this bookstore and, you know, looking for a Bible. He says, no, we don't have any Bibles here. So he's like, no, we don't have any. But, oh, there's this guy who's come in here before. His name's Happy. If you go see him, he's probably going to be able to get you a Bible. Because I think he has one. So this guy from Mathura comes to Happy and says, I'd like, you know, he finds him. He says he lives over here. He finds him. I want a Bible. Oh, why do you want a Bible? They talk. He shows him the truth of the word. This guy just lights up. He lights up. He's on fire. And he is the laborer that opens. He goes back to Mathura. He invites Happy to come with him. They find one other person, then another person, then another person. And in Mathura now they have several fellowships. There are, you know, 80 to 100 people, you know, at this one fellowship that we went to. All because one person, you know. And they're seeing great signs, miracles, and wonders. And that's why things are moving. That's why people are coming. Not because it's Christianity, but because it's powerful. Because they are seeing healing. They are seeing people delivered of devil spirits. They are seeing people, you know, that have needs get their prayers answered. And this is all because of their heart and their desire. And I know, you know, some of us share that same desire. We share that same desire. I know all of us share the same desire in that we do want to see the power of God real in our lives. We want to make sure that we know. We want to see that God is really real, that He's really a Father to us. Don't we?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we all desire. That's what we all want. We all want to know that He's there for us. That no matter what anybody says, we know we can count on God to be there for us. And that when we go to Him with a confidence in Him, with a firm conviction that He will back up every promise that He's made, we see Him do things for us. We see Him bless our lives. Not because we've been so good. We don't go to God in prayer and say, oh God, I've been pretty good this month. I've only told 1,375 lies. I've only stolen from 5 people. I've only gotten drunk 87 times. No, I mean, none of these things matter to God. None of these things matter. The only thing that matters to God is your heart open to Him? Do you trust Him? And that doesn't mean that we go out and constantly, you know, act like idiots and abuse the grace of God. You see, and that's what these people are seeing there. The same thing we see here. From the Word, it's about our heart. You know, are we open to Him? That's what we want. We want to see Him respond to our heart. And as He does, out of His goodness, then we're motivated to make those changes, you know, that we perhaps need to make. You know? But it's all about God giving the increase over there. And that has continued, you know, to be something that I've seen in a big way every time I've been there. Anyway, after the leaders' fellowship, we visited Punjab, which is one of the states there, and Amritsar is the name of the city. We visited fellowships there, and those fellowships primarily have come out of the Christian church, believe it or not. Most all of India has come out of people that are Hindus. But these people, the leaders, the key leaders there, were pastors in Christian churches. And they left it because they saw that there was nothing there. They had nothing to offer people. And I spent some time, quite a bit of time, with Raj Sutan, who used to be a pastor in a Christian church. And a wonderful man. A man who, the way that he came to know the true God, this is a great, great testimony. He met Sangit through a mutual acquaintance of Sangit. They met in Delhi. They talked a little bit. Oh, yeah, nice, nice. And then they met again a second time. And the second time, I think it was the second time that Sangit said, you know, you really know English really well. Would you like to come along with us on one of our trips where we go visit our fellowships out in the remote areas and see, you know, visit with them and see what great things God's doing for them? Would you like to come and translate for our English visitors that are coming with us? And he said, oh yes, I'd love to. And as he visited these fellowships in the different villages and began to hear these great signs, miracles, and wonders that were happening among the people, the great deliverance that they were seeing, the great praise that they had toward God and thankfulness in their heart for all that God was doing for them, this guy was just awestruck. It was like, this is what I thought I had. And he realized that I really don't have it. That you have everything that I thought was available to me, and yet the church has not given this to me. And I am not able to give it to my people. And so, his eyes opened. You know, God showed him. Because he had a hunger, he had a desire. And this man, you know, he went back. After this was a very, very incredible time for him. And he went back and he began to share with his other pastors that he knew in the Christian church. You know, because he was part of the Christian church. He'd go to these pastor meetings, you know, with the church. And, you know, they'd do their thing like they always do. And he would begin to share with them the things that he had seen and the things that he was learning about the truth. And they were like, oh, no, no, no. You're not really seeing those things. And he's like, oh, yes, I am. This is what we need to give our people. You know? They've had enough religion. We need to give them the truth. And they didn't want it. And so he realized that, well, I'm not going to change them. So I'm going to come out. And so he left. And every once in a while, he says some of his old pastor friends will call him. Where have you been? We don't see you anymore. Where are you? Are you all right? And his response is, I'm just moving ahead with God. God's wonderful. Signs, miracles, and wonders. And they continue to scratch their heads. What's he talking about? And yet, none of them have come to him to say, show me. You can't change people who don't want to change. But what you can do is move forward with the power of God in your life, which is what he's doing. You know, and he's seeing God do great things. And he is really now able to fulfill his heart's desire, which is to show God to people, the true God, through his Son Jesus Christ. Great testimony. You know, and it showed me a lot too. I mean, because, we think of India and the great move of God's Word that's happening over there, and it's happening there because it's a different place. it's not the U.S. The U.S. is just full of Christianity, and there's no one really there that really has a hunger, a real desire to see it. No, 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 no. This is a perfect example. And through Raj Sutan, the Sukhinder, who was a pastor, he's the guy playing the drum in one of those pictures, in one of the fellowships. He too has his own fellowship now. But it's different because it's powerful. Because it's the power of God moving. The power of God delivering people, healing people. Yeah. He lives in Delhi with his wife and family and visits Punjab regularly because his laborer is in Punjab.
How far is that?
It's about a 7-hour train ride. 6-hour train ride. Not an easy place to get to.
I had no idea that there was any sort of Christian activity going on in Punjab.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right. Dad is from...
Yeah, Punjab is right on the border to Pakistan. Right? And Cameron's dad's family, and your dad is from Pakistan. Yeah, there are. And it's predominantly a Sikh state. Many Sikhs, most all the people are Sikhs. Yeah, in Punjab. But there are Christian churches there, just like everywhere in India. There are Christian churches. Because the Christian missionaries have gone there and established churches. They've been doing it for hundreds of years. You know. But, and of course, under British rule, a lot of Christian churches. So, again, the contrast between what religion has to offer people and what the true God and His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, have to give, which is powerful. It fulfills the promises of God when we come to it. The same thing was in Mathura. I told you how we visited Mathura, and that was when we took an afternoon and went to the Taj Mahal. Because it was only an hour and a half drive. It was like, well, we've come this far. We may as well go. And it is a very beautiful place.
The churches over there never really got anywhere?
Well, no, because they really didn't have anything to offer people. I mean, people come. I mean, people will go to the churches. There are a couple of the families that we saw were raised. Raj Sutan's wife... It's like her mother was raised in the church because her father was raised in the church. So there are, generations of people that have been raised in the Christian church, and yet, they see the same thing. It's just more religion, right?
Beatrice was raised in the church, sang his wife.
Yeah, sang his wife at Christian church. So, it's the Christian church is the same pretty well everywhere. Yes, they have a heart to worship God, and they have a heart to accept Jesus Christ. And yet, once they're there, they don't give them any more. Because either they can't or they won't or whatever the reason doesn't really much matter. But it's just more man-made. It's just more man-made ritual and ceremony than it is the true power of God. It's like what Jesus Christ said. God seeks them that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not just with, the elaborate ceremony, because it was going on then too. In the temple of the first century and before, it was just ceremony for them. They knew why they were doing it, but it was only ceremony. It was just outward. It wasn't from the heart, which is why Jesus Christ said, you talk about it, but your heart's far from it. And it's when we come to that place when really in our heart we just have such a hunger and such a desire to see the true God and His promises come alive that we begin to see them. We begin to be willing to shake loose the tradition that has had no benefit or no fruit, and we embrace the truth. We say, oh, you've seen signs, miracles, and wonders. Why? How? And then there, and it's not, it's not an argument with them. Raj Sutan told me, said, I couldn't argue with them anymore. Right. I knew I just had to move on, Because to try and convince them when they didn't want to be convinced because they were too comfortable was just an impossible thing. But now he is just so blessed. He's so excited. He's so thankful to finally have come to know the true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He has because of what they've done. And it's just, it's wonderful. You know, and I felt like I knew him my whole life. You know, he came with us to the Taj Mahal. He was kind of like our interpreter, you know, along with Nozomi. And we just had a great time. So these were, you know, some of the great things. And again, I the most important thing, though, you know, is really to stay connected. That's what they're doing. You know, like Raj Sutan, you know, is not, you know, he's not thinking that he can go this alone. You know, he's staying connected, you know, with Sangat and the other leaders to maintain the right course, you know, to not get sidetracked, you know, and to stay put. Because he knows what he wants to do. He wants to live for God. And he wants to do it God's way. You know? So, that's a little bit about that. Let me share a couple of things with you from the Word. Because, you know, this really, we consider, look at Acts 19. You know, there were so many signs, miracles, wonders, so many testimonies. You know, to share the testimonies with you again, I know there'll be more and more, but again, the reason that the Word of God is moving so dynamically and powerfully is because of the signs, miracles, and wonders. People are being healed. People are seeing great things happen. You know, I mean, just incredible things. When we were in Mathura, one young guy stood up and started giving his testimony. He was telling us about how he had a problem with his teeth. His teeth were beginning to grow. They were growing crooked. And they were growing backwards into his mouth. You know, and so he'd gone to the dentist. You know, it's like, well, no, I don't know. We're probably going to have to pull them all out and, you know, just give you new teeth. And he said, no, I don't think that's going to work. I think God can probably do this. So he was ministered to. And I don't know all the details because the translation, I missed a lot during the translation, I know, because they were trying to figure out the word, what he was exactly saying in English, you know, for teeth. And they were trying to tell it, you know, because he's going, ooh, 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 ooh. And they're going, what is his tongue, his gums, his, you know, his throat? You know, and finally it's like, tooth. Don't you got the tooth? Oh, tooth. Okay, his teeth. Yes, good, okay. Good, we got it now. The bottom line was is that he was ministered to, and the next morning he woke up and all of his teeth had grown in straight. Overnight. Overnight. He was so excited. The first thing he wanted to do was go back to his dentist and show him. So he ran back to his doctor. Look! And his doctor said, oh, something is really wrong with you. You've got some kind of strange disease. We're going to have to do some tests. Because this doesn't happen. And so he said, oh no, it's nothing strange. It's God. God did this for me. You know? And I mean, like I said, incredible things like that. Because in their heart and in their understanding, they come to know that with God, nothing is impossible. That's what they're taught. They hear the signs and miracles and wonders. They hear of other people who have been healed. They've been delivered. And they realize, well, nothing's impossible. After that fellowship, we ministered to many people. There were many people in that fellowship that we ministered to. It was just a marathon for about 45 minutes. Just one person after the next. Just ministering. And at the very end, a young man came up. At that point, Raj, I was standing with Raj Sutan. He was translating. He said, he'd like you to minister to him. I said, okay. What does he need? And he had a long sleeve shirt on. And his sleeve, his button, you know, was unbuttoned and it was covering his hand. He said, he'd like you to minister to his hand. I said, okay. And then he extended his hand and he had a birth defect. He had no fingers. And he knew that God could heal him. So he asked me to minister. So I ministered to him. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command your hand to be made whole. And he said, thank you. And he left. And he knows that he will have a hand. This is the kind of faith that they see. There's nothing impossible for God. This is what the church looks like. This is the church. In Acts chapter 19, this is after Paul had come to Ephesus, right? In chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said unto him, well, and the word since then is when, really. So did you receive Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we don't even know what you're talking about. Because the only thing they had known was John's baptism, verse 3 says. Under what were you then baptized? He said, under John's baptism. And Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. You know, the baptism of John, all it does is say, the Messiah is coming. Be ready.
Yeah.
Look for him. You know, Jesus Christ said, yeah, that's what John did, but you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit because the Messiah has come. He explains that to him. Paul said what the truth is. In verse 5, when they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, not in water, but by that Spirit that Jesus Christ said. You'll be baptized with Holy Spirit. And they were baptized with Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They just began. He prayed for them. He got them born again and he led them into tongues and prophecy. He said, now you do it. Now you get out and you do. That's what the church looks like. When people have a hunger and a desire, they didn't argue with him. Oh, well, we've been baptized with the baptism of John. We've been baptized in water. We're fine. No. He said, what? There's more. They didn't want to argue. They said, give it to us.
Yeah.
Give it to me if there's more. And they did. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. You know, without much instruction, doesn't say he had to instruct them. He laid his hands on them, he prayed for them. Right? And he ministered the Spirit to them. Now you do it. And all the men were about 12. There were about 12 of them. There wasn't a multitude, only about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. He spoke boldly. And disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, and they believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. He said, you know what? Discussions are over. You guys don't want to believe? Fine. Those of you who want to come with me, come with me. Let's move. Let's move forward. They've had their chance. This is what the church looked like. And he continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. But remember how Jesus Christ, I mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ just didn't talk. He just didn't talk about it. He demonstrated the power. Same with Paul. He just didn't talk. He initially spoke the word to those 12, about 12. And they received into manifestation the Spirit. They followed him. They stayed with him. And they continued to share the word and teach about the Christ. But it wasn't just that. Verse 11 says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Special miracles. in addition to the signs, miracles, and wonders that were continuing to be brought forth, just like they had been, people being healed, delivered. They were special things. So that verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Just from people coming from Paul, the disciples coming from hearing Paul and hearing him speak of what great power and great authority they had in Christ. That they took his apron, they took his handkerchief, said, I want your same authority. And they went and they said, they spoke with authority. They believed in what they had. And so they were special things that God did for them because of their heart, because of their believing. Not that there was any power in that handkerchief or apron. The power was resident within them. They had received, they had spoken tongues and prophesied. They knew that they had the same authority and power. People were healed because they spoke boldly and they knew the authority that they had. Then, chapter 19, verse 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. All right, here's the contrast now, right? These certain vagabond Jews, they wander around. They just wander around, and they're Jews. But just because they wandered around didn't make them unique. What made them unique is they were exorcists. And that word exorcist, it relates to those who would, with formulas or incantations,
exorcise
spirits. They would cast spells to get rid of devil spirits. And they would chant certain things over the person who is possessed. You know, they would chant, oh, la, 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 la. Spirit, get out. Please. This is what they did. They were basically, they weren't godly men. They were Jews. They were of Israel. But they were sorcerers. That's all they were. Magicians. Yeah. And so they said, wow, you know, this Paul guy has really got something going on. We've heard that he kicks the devil's butt in the name of Jesus Christ. So, let's put that in our incantation. Let's put that. See where it says, it took upon them to call over them. It doesn't mean to summon them. Hey, come here for a second. We want to talk with you. No. They took upon themselves, they decided that we need to use this name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, in our little chants. Let's see how that works. And so, and they plugged it in their incantation. Oh, we implore you. Oh, we implore you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's what they were speaking over these people. And these, they were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, verse 14 says, chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, I know who you're talking about. Jesus, I know. Paul, yep, I know him. He's done some damage to us. But who are you? We don't know you. These are just wandering Jews. These men do not have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. They're not born again. Neither did they care to be. But they'd heard of some of these things and they said, you know, that'd be good for business if we could use that in our chants. The evil spirit answered and said to them, I don't know you. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He just ripped them up. Tore them up. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them. Respect, great respect fell on all of them. Not fear, not afraid. They were not afraid. They had respect and awe for the power of God because they saw the difference. They had seen the healing and the deliverance brought to them in the name of Jesus Christ by those disciples of Paul, whom Paul had preached and taught the word and told them of their authority. Said, "You now you go do it. You go carry it out. You spoke in tongues, you prophesied, you know you can do the same. Go do more." That's what they had respect for. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. They said, "You know, this route that we've been on before is not the right course. All of these curious arts and magical potions and formulas and chants, these don't do anything. It's the name of Jesus Christ that does something. In the heart and on the lips of a believer, of a son or daughter of God, this name of Jesus Christ represents all the power and authority of the heavenlies." And they saw that. And they said, "We don't need the rest of this junk anymore." And so, those that use those things, those curious arts, all the witchcraft, all the sorcery, all the idol worship, they brought all their books about it together and they burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. When I spoke with the leaders from Chaldea, we had seen a blind man there last year who played harmonium and sang, and he was ministered to, and he believed God at the time that he really would be able to see. He invited us, he and his father invited us to their home, which was right down the alley, on the end of the alleyway, up, you know, on the second floor, through this windy little mazy place. And we went, we sat with him, and in his room he had idols, Hindu gods everywhere, pictures, statues. He couldn't see them, he was blind. But he had them there nonetheless. And we told him that afternoon that we sat with him last year, "You need to get rid of these idols out of your home. If you really want your deliverance, you need to get rid of these idols." We asked of this man, when we saw Bola and the others, "How is he?" "Well, he's not doing anything." "Why?" "Well, because he refused to remove the idols out of his house. He said they cost too much money, so he wouldn't get rid of them." A little bit of a difference with what happened here. What happened here is what the church should look like and can look like from the book of Acts. They saw those things that were worthless to them. They saw those things that, yeah, they had spent a lot of money on those books. A lot of money on learning about curious arts and all these different things, and yet they said, "No, we don't need them." 20,000 pieces of silver went up in smoke. They were willing. And the result of it, 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money in any currency. Verse 20, the result, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Where and when people are willing to come to the truth and let go of the stuff that is contrary to it. Just let go of it. Get rid of it. The Word of God can mightily grow and prevail. This is what the church is. This is what the church should look like and will look like and does look like here. It all depends upon our desire. Do we have a desire to see the Word of God live in our own life, just in our life? God, I want to know You're real. I want to know that Your power is available to me. Show Yourself to me. Prove Yourself to me so that I can know the way You have called me to know. He has called us to know Him. To know Him as our Heavenly Father. To have a relationship with Him. To be able to crawl up into His lap and say, Abba, Father, You know what I need. That's God's desire. And if we have that same desire in our heart, the Word of God will mightily grow and prevail in your life too. In my life and in many people's lives. You know, when Paul was preaching, when he was teaching, at times he got a little frustrated at times. There was one record where God showed him after he'd been preaching and people were arguing and people didn't want to know it, they didn't want to hear about it, and yet God encouraged him and said, "You don't fear anybody. You keep speaking because I have many people in this city. So you just keep going." If we have that kind of desire, then the Word of God will grow and prevail. But it will grow and prevail in your life first. In your life, you will know that you know that you know that there is nothing that God will not do for you. That God will answer your every request. He will guide you. He'll direct your steps. And it won't be a guessing game. He'll make Himself plain to you. And then the Word of God will continue to grow and prevail. Because you know, when God does something for someone, they know it. And they're not afraid to talk about it. Because it's the most exciting thing to see a miracle, a sign, a wonder that God has done for you. You know, I recall in the Gospels one time when Jesus Christ healed. He healed a leper. It was a leper. And He said, "Now don't tell anybody. Go and show yourself to the priest. Do what you're supposed to do." He said, "The heck with that. Man, I'm healed." And He ran into the city and just told everybody. He told everybody. And as a consequence, there were multitudes came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ from that city. We have just got to be bold to speak of the great things that God has done for us. You know? And if He hasn't done anything for you lately, then it's because you haven't asked. Or you have asked amiss, you know? Like it says in James. You know, double-minded. You know, you're double-minded. You don't ask with faith, with confidence that God's going to deliver. You know, those people ask with confidence in those fellowships. They ask with great determination and great confidence that God is going to back it up. God will do it. Yeah. We all need His help. Right?
Yes.
Sure, I need His help on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And God will always provide on a daily basis. Expect miracles once a year.
No.
All the time.
All the time. Every day. Every day. Expect a miracle. Could you use one today? Expect one. It's there for you. All right? So, a lot of great things. I'm very excited. I'm blessed to be back home. I'm blessed to see what God is going to do.
Oh, I thought you knew
me. I'm blessed to see you too, Tim. I am. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful life, you know. More than the movie even dreamed of thinking. Because we have the power of God in us, and we've been called to fellowship with our Heavenly Father and make Him known. All right? So, Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thanks for the way You continue to back up Your promises, the way You continue to do such mighty things for us as we look to You, as we trust You, as we with our whole heart seek You first. Thanks, Father, for continuing to to take care of the things that we need, whether they be small or great, Father, that You're there for us. We're grateful for Your grace and mercy for making these things available to us. And that, Father, we together can show the world what the church looks like and what You've called us to. Thank You, Father, for these things. Thank You for Your word moving and for You bringing us those hungry people as we seek to share those things that we know are true because of what You've established in our lives. Thanks, Father, for these things. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. All right. Well, I'd like to receive an abundant sharing and then we'll be done. Yeah, at least for today. So, you know, remember, you know, abundant sharing is one of those things, or sharing, you know, tithe. Some people refer to it as the tithe. And in the church epistles, it's all about just giving, just choosing to give. It has its roots, of course, in the heart of honoring God. You know, that if God has blessed you, then you respond back. And God has always blessed us, you know. I mean, there's no if about it. There's no, I guess the if is if you recognize that God has blessed you, then
right.
You respond back. You honor Him, you know, for doing that. So, and that's what really, that's why we make it available for you to give, first and foremost, you know, so that you can continue to have fruit that abounds to your account. That's what the Word says. Because when we honor God with the first fruits of our increase, we get blessed. We just do. We always get blessed. So that's why we continue to do that. So, Father, thanks for Your blessing. Thank You for continuing to take care of our lives. And thank You, Father, for having such great respect for our actions of honoring You and giving. Thank You for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, all right. So pass that around, if you would. All right.